in much patience and in afflictions. In necessities, in distresses. In other words, preachers are not exempt from all those things. We're not exempt from necessities, from distresses, from troubles and trials and all those things. But in all those things, in stripes and imprisonments, in tumults and labors and washings and fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, and by the power of God, and by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. Now we're subject to all those things.
Yeah.
We know what this world thinks of preachers of grace.
Yeah.
We're well acquainted with that. Yet, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. That's every believer. And that's ministers. Ones he sent to preach the gospel. Not what this world wants to hear, but what the testimony of the scriptures. And the scriptures say, if he that cometh bringeth not this word, because there's no light in him. All right, verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Paul said, we're ready to preach the gospel. Our mouth is open to you, and the affections of our heart goes out to you, and we would that you hear. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Our love is enough, Paul said, in the ministers of the God, our love is enough for y'all to preach the gospel to you, to faithfully tell the story of the gospel and to present the doctrine of Christ. But if your love to us is straitened, which it is, because Paul said the more we love, the less we be loved, it's in your own bowels and not in us. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, that doesn't mean that you should not talk to unbelievers, or that you shouldn't have business dealings with unbelievers, or it doesn't even mean that you can't be friends with unbelievers. But it does mean that you can't have religious worship with unbelievers. Because they'll try to pull you off from the truth. Those who believe the doctrine of free will try to persuade you to their doctrine. Those who believe in Roman Catholicism will cause you, want you to believe in the priesthood of the Pope and all such things as that. But we can't have religious fellowship with them. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And everything that is not the gospel is unrighteousness. Everything that exalts man, any man-centered gospel that centers on the will of man, that makes the grace of God an offer rather than a gift, anything that puts Christ beneath us, is unrighteousness. And what communion hath light with darkness? Everything that is not of the truth is darkness. Look at I think it's Psalm 104. I can't remember where that's at right now. But anyway, he said, by thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. We do. When we're born of the truth, we hate every false way. What concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now, the Mohammedans call us infidels. They are Antichrist. The Pope and the people of the Roman Catholic faith are Antichrist, because they've set up the Pope as priest with Christ. All of those things. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Now, that's my title this morning, the living house of God. And that's believers. That's individual persons. He dwells in us, and that is the church of the living God. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Now, wrap your mind around that if you can. Ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Look at Leviticus 26, verses 11 and 12. Leviticus 26, verses 11 and 12. Now, as the tabernacle of old was a picture of God dwelling in his people, and I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. Now, why would the Lord say to us, I will not abhor you? Well, why would he say that to us? The reason is because we're sinners. We are the enemies of God in our heart, and are enemies of God by wicked works. Look at Romans 8, 7. Romans 8, 7. Because the carnal mind, your mind, my mind, the way we're brought into this world, the way we're made by nature, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Look at Ephesians 2, let's read verse 3 verses. And ye hath he quickened, or that is, and you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. We was born that way. We were born dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom ye also had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Well, that's why. That's why he said, without my grace, without my mercy in Christ Jesus, then I would abhor you. But he said, I'll put my tabernacle among you, and I will not abhor you. Now, those whom the Lord has loved in Christ Jesus from everlasting are loved with an everlasting love. Not according to any good thing that's in them, not according to anything that God foresaw in them, not according that God looked down through a telescope of time and saw that they would believe and have faith and do good works, anything like that, no. It was according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And I will not abhor you. Now, as for others, look at Psalm 5. Psalm 5, 5th Psalm, and verse 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Well, who are workers of iniquity? Well, look at Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, 23. Mark. Matthew 7:23. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Haven't we preached in your name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So the workers of iniquity are preachers who preach a false gospel. As well as the drunkard and the harlot and all of those people who are workers of iniquity. But the religious who propagate, who set forth a false gospel. Back to 2 Corinthians now. He promised to dwell with us. Now look at... hold your place there in 2 Corinthians and turn to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17:7. This is the promise to Abraham and his seed. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant. Now look at this word. To be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31. in verse 33. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write them in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Well, the Lord has promised now in those two places and in other places all through the scriptures. He said, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He has a claim on us, and we have a claim on Him. We're His, and He's ours. Everyone who is involved in that everlasting covenant has God as their God. He's theirs. They're His. They're married. They're in an eternal union. Now, the eternal is contractual, or the eternal union is contractual. It is a covenant union, and first existed in that form in the mind and will purpose of God. But it is made a living reality to us when we are informed of it. When I was born in this world, I didn't know anything, and I don't know much now. But I do know this. I do know that the God of this universe is my God. And I'm His son. Well, how do you know that? How do you know that? Because I believe Him. His people, His elect, believe Him. As Abraham was the father of the faithful, all of the faithful bear resemblance to Abraham in their faith. You're something like your father. And we're something like our Father. We believe God. We believe His testimony concerning His Son. How do you believe that? Well, it was wrought in our heart by an almighty power. Silently, secretly, by the preaching of the gospel, by the inward working of God the Holy Spirit, He teaches His people who they are, what their inheritance is, and how they received it. And He says to us, you are the temple of the living God. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Now that's believers and that's the church, both. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Well, now, we know, those who are taught of the Lord know that our spirit, our soul, is renewed in the image of Him who created it. We have a new nature that causes us to love God, to love the gospel, and to love the people of God, and have a desire to hear the gospel and to hear the truth. We don't want to hear anything else.
Right.
But what about our body? That's not redeemed yet. It's still full of sin. Look at 1 Corinthians. I think it's chapter 6. Yeah, first Corinthians, verse 19. 1 Corinthians, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now wait a minute. My body's full of sin.
Yeah.
I have a principle of sin in my members, and you mean to tell me that the Holy Spirit dwells there? That's what the Scripture says. And therefore, I believe what the Scripture says. Now, the manner of His dwelling there, I don't know all about that. I'm not supposed to know all about that. But I do believe that. I believe that this temple is His temple. Our Lord said, destroy this temple, His natural body, and I'll raise it up again in 3 days. This temple is not that temple that shall be. It's got to lay in the dust and molder and decay and rot or be burned or however. Anyhow, out of what remains of it, God will bring that body, that glorified body that is fashioned like unto the glorious body of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it ain't for me to worry about. The Holy Spirit dwells in this tabernacle. And He dwells in this tabernacle. He dwells in His people, and He dwells in the whole church. And He dwells there because we're His possession. He owns us, lock, stock, and barrel. The Lord Jesus Christ bought us with His own precious blood.
Yeah,
we're not our own. We belong to Him. I don't own anything. He's given me things to use, make my life more comfortable, but it's all His. And I'm so thankful, so glad, so happy. I rejoice to be in Him.
Amen.
I'm not in myself, in the reckoning of God. I've been in Christ from everlasting. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Or actually, as it is in the Greek, that we should be holy and without blame in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His own will, not mine. If God had left me to myself, if I had endured that curse, I would have run as far from God as I could have got. Because my carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And the natural man, whatever he is, being cultured, educated, refined, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Do we? If we've been visited by the Holy Ghost, if we were chosen by God before the foundation of the world, then, because of that, we were redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And because of both of those two things, we are called by the Holy Spirit. Not invited. Look here. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. verse 28. And whom, let's see, verse Romans 8, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Well, there are a whole lot of folks that don't love God. Well, evidently, everything don't work together for good to them. Now, that's right. God causes everything to work together for the good of them that love Him. But not everybody. To them who are the invited. Whew. Not invited, called, fetched, brought. To them who are the called. How did he call? Well, he came by and said, live. He that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Well, how do you live? Well, he gives you life. Why does he give you life? Because God chose you to everlasting life for the foundation of the world. Salvation, Jonah said, is of the Lord. It ain't of me or you. It's of the Lord. And them he called, named, fetched, brought, gave life according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. All right, let's get back to 2 Corinthians 6. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Let's look at a couple of places here, and I'll try not to be too much longer. Look at Hebrews 3:6. Hebrews 3:6. Hebrews chapter 3. And I can never get over this first verse of chapter 3. He says, wherefore, holy brethren. Well, I thought we're sinners. Well, we are in ourselves. But we're not in ourselves. We're in Christ Jesus. And we are holy in His holiness. As we are righteous in His imputed righteousness. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. Who built the house? Lord Jesus Christ built the house by his sufferings and death. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. You're a city. You're the city of the living God. That's who you are. That's who you really are. I know we think we're a lot of things in this world, and we are in this world, but this world don't count for much. We are the city of the living God. But Christ has a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Well, all those who are born of God are not born in vain. They all do. That is the evidence of who they are. Everyone who endures to the end are the children of God. Them that are not, after a while, they will quit. They'll fall off. All right, let's go on here now to go to Galatians 2 or Ephesians 2:22. Ephesians 2:22. And let's begin reading at verse 18. For through him, that is through Christ, we both Gentiles and Jews, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. There's all three persons of the Godhead in united love for his people. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's the house of God. In whom all the building, all that house, fitly framed together, groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. A place for God to dwell. God is a spirit and seeketh such to worship him as do worship him in spirit of truth. And he's built up a spiritual house for an habitation of God through the Spirit, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus and the effectual call of God the Holy Ghost. Let's look at a couple more places. Look at 1 Peter. Chapter 2. Wherefore it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, elect and precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded, not at the judgment, not ever. Unto you therefore which believe. Now notice the requirement is faith. Didn't say that you that build hospitals and feed the hungry, go on missionary journeys, but to you that believe. Yeah. Unto you therefore that believe, he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation. Well, when were ye chosen? Way back in eternity past. Who chose ye? God the Father. Why? Because it pleased him. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. I beseech you, therefore, as foreigners and strangers, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. I miss where I wanted to go. Well, anywhere, somewhere in those verses that I read, it says what I wanted to bring out. And I, right now I'm looking back over. You're the house of God. Okay, here it is, verse 5. Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house. God lives in that house. That's His habitation. And holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Let's look at one more place. Look at Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21:9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit into a great and high mountain, and showed me a great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of God, out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Believers are that city of God. We're an habitation of God by the Spirit. That's something to think about, isn't it? We're not that city by our choice, by our decision, by something we do. We are that city by the choice of the Father, by the redemption that's in the Son, and by the almighty call of the Holy Spirit. He locates every child of the covenant, Acts 3:25. And he says, come over here. And he runs them smack into the gospel. And if they're His, and they are, they just can't help believe it. They close with it. It becomes theirs. Because God is and has forever been their God. And they are and have forever been His children. Ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it.